Today's reading is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Father in heaven, send your Spirit to mould us into the likeness of Christ through your word. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been chewing our way slowly through the first couple of verses of Peter's letter, tasting the richness of each little section. And our focus today is on just the second phrase found in verse 2. Have a look down. The second phrase in verse 2, which says, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That's our topic, sanctification. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit to make us holy. So our aim this morning is to spot the Spirit's work in our lives, to worship God for what he has done and is doing in us, and to catch a passion to pursue holiness by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may have noticed here in verse 2 that Peter talks about each person of the Trinity. Last week we considered the foreknowledge of God the Father. Next week, or next time, we'll think about the work of the Son, Jesus Christ. But today, our focus is on the sanctification of the Spirit. And as we saw last week, these three phrases all relate back to verse 1. They are connected to our identity as elect exiles who are scattered. These three phrases in verse 2 are not standalone theological truths. They flow from verse 1. They are logically connected to the fact that we are God's elect exiles. So last week, we saw that we are elect exiles, and that is according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Today, we are elect exiles through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The Spirit's work of making us holy is connected to our identity as elect exiles, and it's actually connected in two ways. The fact that we are elect exiles is the result of the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and it's also the means of the sanctifying work of the Spirit. You see, the Bible talks about sanctification in two different ways, both in the past tense and in the present tense, both as something that has happened and something that is still happening. And both types of sanctification are connected to the fact that we are elect exiles. So let's take a look at each in turn. The first thing to say is that the Spirit has made us holy. The Spirit has made us holy. This is what's known as positional sanctification. If you are one of God's people, this is something that has happened to you, past tense. The Spirit has made you holy. What does it mean to be holy? We tend to think in terms of moral purity, not being bad, being good. And that's certainly part of it. But at the heart of holiness is this idea of being set apart, separate, different from. So when we speak of God being holy, we're not just saying that God is perfect, although that is true. We're actually talking about the fact that he is totally other than us. He's in a different league. He's on a different level. He's unique. He is God and we are not. So he is holy. And because God is holy, everything and everyone who gets close to God must also be holy. Think about the Old Testament temple, where God met with his people, dwelling in the Holy of Holies. And everything that was in the temple, everything that was used in service of the temple, was considered a holy object. Why? Because it was set apart for God's use. You can read in Leviticus 8 how even the utensils used at the altar had to be consecrated. How is it that barbecue tongs can be holy? Well, holiness is not just about morality. It's about being set apart for a purpose. Those barbecue tongs were different from other barbecue tongs because they were set apart for God's use. Take, for example, this spoon. In our house, this weaning spoon is holy. It is set apart for a purpose. This is the chosen utensil for the boys to eat yogurt. Nothing else, just yogurt. In fact, the other day, JJ was given this spoon to eat some other type of food, some sort of different food. And he rejected it. He said, no, I can't use that. He said, no, that's my yogurt spoon. This spoon is set aside for a purpose. It is holy to the yogurt. To be sanctified is to be holy, not to the yogurt, but holy to the Lord. Set apart by God, to be close to God and used for God. The Old Testament priests, they wore special clothes with a gold plate which said, "Holy to the Lord." And in chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says to all Christians, "You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You also have been cleansed, consecrated, distinguished from the world, set apart by God to be close to God and used for God." The Spirit has made us holy. He has sanctified us by setting us apart for God's purposes. And it's in this sense that Jesus himself was sanctified. He says in John 17, verse 19, he's praying and he says, "For them, my disciples, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. For them, I sanctify myself." Now, he's not talking about growing in moral purity. He's not saying, for them, I'm going to make myself more good. Jesus is already perfect. We know that. So it's not talking about growing in moral purity. As God, he is perfect. Instead, he's saying, I have set myself aside. I've sanctified myself in that sense. I've set myself aside for a particular purpose. He's saying, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross where I will be a sacrifice holy to the Lord, that they too may be truly sanctified. I've set myself apart for the cross so that my people might be made holy. The cross is why 1 Corinthians 1 can say that Christ is our holiness. Christ is our sanctification. The Old Testament priests shed blood to make themselves holy. They made sacrifices for the people. They sprinkled blood to consecrate every last part of the temple. But Jesus, he had no need to shed blood for himself, for he is holy. And by his perfect sacrifice, by his shed blood, he has bought sanctification for his people. Jesus buys our holiness. And it is the work of the Spirit to apply our holiness. By the blood of Jesus, we have been cleansed, and by the Spirit of Jesus, we have been sanctified. The Spirit has made us holy. And that's why we are elect exiles. Our identity as exiles is the result of the sanctifying work of the Spirit. We are exiles in this world because the Spirit has set us apart from this world. When the yogurt spoon is with all of the other spoons in the drawer, it looks similar, but it's not the same thing, because this spoon knows that it has been set aside for a particularly special purpose. Do you see? Have a look again at verse 1 and verse 2. You are elect exiles, verse 1. Verse 2, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, because the sanctifying work of the Spirit is to set you apart, to take you from the other spoons and make you a yogurt spoon, to distinguish you as different from all of the other barbecue tongs, to make you a holy people among others who have not been made holy. It must have been a great encouragement to Peter's first readers, these scattered under pressure exiles, and a great encouragement to us to know that the reason we are hashtag not at home in this world is not just because we're weird, but because something has happened to us. We've been given this awesome privilege of being set apart by God to be close to God and used for God. The Spirit has made us holy. And notice, this is not something that we do, it's the work of God that has been done, which is a wonderful comfort when we don't feel very holy. Perhaps the idea of drawing close to a holy God fills you with fear because you feel dirty. The idea of being used in God's service, it just seems unlikely because you don't feel very fit for purpose. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, you should actually feel like that. But you don't have to. When you put your trust in Jesus, then regardless of recent performance, regardless of how clean we feel, this is unchangingly true. We have been made holy. Praise God. One morning this week, I was about to sit down to do some prep for this talk, when I shouted at one of the boys. He was being naughty, but my response was unreasonable. And I said to Riz, I can't do it. I can't go and start writing a talk. You know, I feel like a hypocrite talking about holiness. And she gently reminded me, isn't that the point? It's not about you making yourself holy. God has made you holy. She was right. I'm thankful to God for that gentle rebuke. My standing before God, the fact that he sees me as holy as his son, is because the Spirit has sanctified me in the past tense. But the Bible also speaks about sanctification in the present tense. So the second thing to say is that the Spirit is making us holy. This is what's known as progressive sanctification. The Spirit has made us holy. That's positional sanctification. The Spirit is making us holy. That's progressive sanctification. This is an ongoing process. The Spirit is at work in us over time, making us more like Jesus. Over time, if you like, he's washing us, he's cleaning us up. The moment that we were saved, the Spirit set us apart. He made us holy. And then from that point on, for the rest of our Christian lives here on earth, the Spirit is in the process of making us holy. You see, now we're talking about holiness in a slightly different sense. We're not talking about being set apart for God's use, because that's something that has already happened in the past. It's equally true of all Christians. Now we're talking about this process of being made more and more like Jesus, which happens in the present, and different Christians are at different stages in their sanctification. Positional sanctification is being set apart by God to be close to God and used for God. Progressive sanctification is being indwelt by God to be made increasingly like God for the glory of God. Over time, the light of Christ invades more of the dark corners of our hearts. Over time, we sin less and obey Jesus more. Over time, the Spirit shapes our minds and emotions and will and bodies to be more glorifying to God. The Holy Spirit lives in us to show us Christ and to make us more like Christ. This too is his sanctifying work. The Spirit is making us holy. And here's the thing. This also is connected to our identity as elect exiles. Again, just note the link between verse 2 and verse 1. We are elect exiles through or in the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Our status as elect exiles is the means by which the Spirit sanctifies us. It is through our present circumstances, specifically the difficulties and the trials that we experience, it's through those things that the Spirit is at work to make us more like Jesus. The pain of being scattered exiles under pressure is the crucible in which we are formed into the likeness of Christ. Just as resistance builds muscle strength, just as fire refines precious metal, so Peter can say in chapter 4, verse 1, whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. I.e., it's through suffering that we become dead to sin's ruling power. You see, the fact that we suffer grief in all kinds of trials, that is the very stuff that the Spirit uses to make us more holy. It's like a pressure washer. Our next door neighbour on this side, I better not speak too loud actually in case he can hear us. Our next door neighbour, he's definitely been making the most of lockdown. So he started by painting all of the rooms inside the house. Then he moved on to painting all of the fences in the garden, every last part of the fence, including all of the trimmings. And then the other day, he got out his pressure washer and he started to wash all of the paving slabs in the garden. It would be hopeless trying to wash those stones by hand with a rag and a bucket of warm water. To do a proper clean, you need that pressure. And so it is with sanctification. The Lord does clean us up in the easy times, but very often it's under pressure that we get a deep clean. I'm sure many of us can look back and see that our most difficult trials were the very times that we grew most as a Christian, in our Christian maturity. Our next door neighbour, he was there for some time. I can tell you, it made an absolute racket. So, it was a long and it was a slow process. And it's the same with the work of the Spirit. It takes time to get into the cracks and into all of those dark corners. You have to keep going again and again back to the bit that you thought you'd finished a while ago. It's messy. It's hard work. At times it doesn't feel like there's really any progress at all, and it's quite discouraging until you step back and you take a look at the big picture and you realize how much cleaner things are than they were. It's painful to be pressure washed, but it does real, lasting, deep good. That's why James can say in chapter 1, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Do you see the logic? Because we know it's doing us good, we can actually rejoice in our trials. The Spirit is making us holy. And he does that through the various challenges and sorrows that we experience as exiles in a fallen world. Which is why, by the way, we should not just ask God to remove our trials, but we should ask him that he would mature us through our trials. This is also why God doesn't always answer our prayers straight away to take away our trials immediately. He's actually got something better in store for us. The Spirit is making us holy through our trials. He is refining us by fire. He is pressure washing us. You know, I found that a real comfort during dark times. We can thank God for bitter medicine, because we know it's a lifesaver. Even the most painful trials, the trials that we would never choose, they become bittersweet when we realize that God redeems our suffering by turning it to our good and his glory. As we face the pressure that coronavirus is bringing to us all, isn't it brilliant to know that it's not pointless? That he is at work in this and in us, using our disappointments, our discomfort, our depression, and everything else that we struggle with. He's using those things to blast away some of our sinful ways and make us more like our Savior, more reliant on him, more prayerful, more holy. And that's not only for the glory of God, it's for our good. We were made to be like God. We were made to walk closely with God. And there is the deepest joy when we find ourselves growing in holiness. The Spirit uses pressure points to form us into the likeness of Christ. And so we need to train ourselves to spot the Spirit's work. We need to train ourselves to spot the Spirit's work in our lives. Often when difficulties come into our life, we assume that something must be wrong. It quickly makes us ask, where's God in all of this? Maybe that's what you're feeling now with all of the pressures of coronavirus and the various challenges that's bringing to you. Where's God in this? Well, he's always there. God, the Holy Spirit, is there using every and any circumstance in this lifelong mission to make us more like Christ. Now, it's also true, of course, that we have an active role to play in our sanctification. In the rest of this letter, Peter has no hesitation in writing strong commands, instructing us in holy living. But here the emphasis is on God's work. This is the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And so we must train ourselves to spot the Spirit's work. When the pressure mounts, embrace the opportunity to grow in holiness. Take time to chart the change in your life, to look back and see the difference that pressure washing has made over time, and give the glory to God. Can I encourage you to do that? Take a look back at your life since becoming a Christian. Look for progress, not perfection. This is a process that will continue until we die or until the Lord Jesus returns. So often it's messy. There are going to be ups and downs in the graph, but you should be able to see that the overall trajectory is up. You held your temper when before you would have lashed out. You averted your eyes when before you would have had a second look. Perhaps you still lost your temper with the kids, but this time you were much quicker to apologize. You had some hateful thoughts towards someone, but then you stopped and you repented rather than nurturing and nursing those thoughts. You stopped and helped when before you would have just passed by. You got up to pray when before you would have just stayed in bed. Praise God for every little sign of growth. Sometimes it's not very obvious in the short term, but when you stop and look over a period of time, you can see all manner of ways, big and small, in which the Spirit is changing you to be more like Jesus. Ask someone to help you with this. Sometimes it's hard to see yourself, but ask someone who's close to you to spot with you the Spirit's work in making you more like our Lord Jesus. After all, that's the goal. Romans 8 verse 28 is a precious verse for those who are going through times of trial. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And what is that good that he is working towards? The next verse tells us that we should be conformed to the image of his Son, that under pressure we would not buckle or split, but that we would be molded into the shape of the Son. Christ is our goal, and Christ also is our model. 1 Peter 2 verse 21 says, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ is the ultimate Spirit-filled man who walked in perfect holiness. He is the one full of the life that we were made to live. And even under pressure, he's the man of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't you love to be filled with that fruit too? Wouldn't you love to live like Jesus lived? Well, praise God for the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the one who has made us holy, the one who is making us holy, to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, who has made us holy and who is making us holy. Fill us with comfort and joy as ones who have been made holy in your sight through Christ. And may we consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds, because we know that you are pressure washing us for our good and for your glory. We pray this for each and every person going through times of pressure right now, for those mourning, fearful, anxious, depressed, struggling in parenting, struggling for provision, for those under pressure in marriage or in singleness, in the various pressures we feel during this season of this coronavirus crisis. Use this pressure, please, to purify the gold. What we ask for ourselves, we pray also for our partner churches in the borough of Enfield and beyond. We pray this for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church around the world. And we pray this for those in our communities who don't yet know Jesus. Please, with this time of pressure, bring people to their knees. that your Holy Spirit would set apart more and more of your people. We pray this all in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen.